Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Skip and I will share some stories of some normal Americans who are heroes. Then we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. We'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. You know, the mainstream media would have you believe that the average American is a sitting duck. That, when push comes to shove, most of us aren't willing to jump into action. We've heard too many stories to know that that just isn't true. So here are some examples that it's not true. Share the first one, Skip.
Marine Gunnery Sergeant Kyle Wetter was driving home from work at Camp Pendleton, California, on the evening of December 7 when he saw the car in front of him suddenly burst into flames. He said, "All I could think at first was, what the heck happened?" Wetter, the formal marksmanship training center and staff non-commissioned officer with Marine Corps Installations West, said in a press release about the accident, "The car had run over a gas can that had fallen out of a nearby truck." He said, "Immediately, I was like, I need to help them any way I can." Wetter, along with Anthony Hurley, the driver of the car that caught fire, immediately pulled to the side of the road. The Marine ran to the car, assessing the situation, and attempted to use a fire extinguisher on the growing flames. After failing to douse the fire, Wetter heard a child screaming coming from inside the car, along with a mother calling for her trapped baby. The 18-month-old baby was in her car seat in the back of the car. Hurley, the baby's father, was attempting to disengage the seat, but even with Wetter's help, the seat was stuck. Wetter then attempted to undo the seatbelt, but again failed to free the child. Finally, the Marine pulled out his pocket knife and cut the child free from the flaming car. His preparation is what resulted in a positive outcome, Captain John Choi, the public information officer with North Country Fire Protection District, said in the release. Wetter said his training as an infantry Marine helped him stay calm and react to contact in the chaotic situation. "We get taught at an early age in the Marine Corps to react to situations," he added. Hurley is just thankful someone was there to save his family. "I am forever grateful for Gunnery Sergeant Kyle Wetter," Hurley said in the release. "He came at a time of need for my family."
He was and is a hero.
You know, I love it when you say good things about the Marines, Colonel. It just makes my heart just pitter-patter.
Well, and I could feel it all the way here.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He carried his pocket knife with him. And most people don't carry pocket knives anymore, you know, but it's an important tool to have. It can save people's lives. It can save your own life. Yep. So I highly recommend everybody do it.
I sure do. Okay. 17-year-old Ava Donegan was in Excelsior Springs, Missouri, shopping with her boyfriend. When out of the blue, they heard gunfire. Two police officers were confronting an armed suspect. The suspect opened fire, striking one of the officers. That's when Ava jumped into action. From the Western Journal, a 17-year-old Missouri girl used what her father taught her Saturday night as she found herself in the middle of a crime scene in which an officer was shot. Well, two officers were trying to arrest a man wanted for assaulting a police officer. The driver shot one officer in the shoulder and the wrist. Quote, "Somehow I blinked my eye and the cop who was shot was right in front of my car. He was asking me to get out and help him put his tourniquet on," she said. The teen assisted the officer with the tourniquet and helped him take off his vest and then radio in the incident. As it turned out, Ava's father is a medical professional. He had trained her how to respond to incidents just like that. The young woman said that the training kicked in instantly, like a light bulb going on. Her dad even trained her on how to apply a tourniquet, the very thing that saved this officer's life. The police officer was taken to the hospital and underwent surgery. He went on to mend. The suspect was stopped by the other officer, who struck him in the head. I wonder how hard.
Well, apparently hard enough to do the job. That's the last we hear about that guy, Colonel.
Yeah, it is. Certainly, if it had been my partner he'd shot, he'd be struck more than once.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Colonel, what really impressed with me is this is a young woman.
Yes.
I mean, just wet behind the ears. But, man, she jumped in where angels fear to tread, and she just came through in flying colors. I mean, saved a police officer's life. When you're shooting out blood like that, you've got to stop the blood flow or you're going to die. And, man, putting a tourniquet on by yourself, that's hard to do.
And there could still have been bullets flying. They probably weren't, but there could have been. And she did it in that environment.
Well, maybe she's going to end up in the military, Colonel. We can only hope and pray.
Indeed. This is Colonel Danny Gillum, and we're discussing Heroes in America. Okay, what's the next one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, now it's time for the Air Force. This will make Josh Leng very happy, Colonel. All right, here we go. A United States airman recently saved a child's life on his flight back to the United States, where he was to receive a prestigious award for being exceptional, the Air Force announced this month. Tech Sergeant Kenneth O'Brien, a Special Tactics Section Chief assigned to the 320th Special Tactics Squadron at Kadua Air Base in Japan, was named one of only a dozen 2019 Outstanding Airmen of the Year, the Air Force announced in August. O'Brien served as a member of President Donald Trump's security detail for one of the summits with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, and he rescued someone from a burning vehicle in Korea. He played an important role in rescuing a Thai soccer team from a cave, and during the rescue operation, he also saved the life of a Thai Navy SEAL. Quote, "If someone needs to go do something dangerous, I volunteer," O'Brien said of his rather eventful year. "If someone needs a leader, I volunteer. I happen to be in the right place at the right time, and that's what helped me stand out because I sought out key positions or responsibilities." 2 weeks ago, he was on a flight back to the U.S. to receive his award at the Air Force Association conference when a one-year-old child lost consciousness due to an airway blockage. The child may have been unresponsive, but O'Brien was not. Quote, "Our man O'Brien leaps into action, clears the breathing passage, resuscitates the kid, hands him back to the parents, and then goes on about his business," Lieutenant General Jim Slife, head of Air Force Special Operations Command, wrote in a Facebook post Stars and Stripes first reported. The Air Force said in a statement that the child regained consciousness after about a minute. O'Brien regularly checked in on the child throughout the remainder of the flight. Quote, "I'm thankful that the child is okay and that I was able to help when the family needed support," O'Brien said, explaining that he just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Quote, "I can't decide if he's Superman or Mayhem," the guy in the insurance commercials, Slife said on Facebook. "I don't know whether I want to be right next to him in case some bad stuff goes down or whether I want to be as far away from him as possible because bad stuff always seems to go down around him." While O'Brien was named as an award recipient in August, his actions on his flight back to the U.S. confirmed that he is deserving of it, his commander said. Quote, "We are very proud of Tech Sergeant O'Brien, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Hodges, commander of the 320th Special Tactics Squadron, said in a statement. Quote, "He continues to step up when there is a need for leadership and action. This incident demonstrates without a doubt that O'Brien epitomizes the Air Force's core values and rightly deserves the honor and selection as one of the Air Force's 12 Outstanding Airmen of the Year," unquote.
And who could disagree with that?
Indeed, oh, jeez.
Indeed, Skip, he manifests what you keep talking about in self-defense of being aware of what's going on around you.
Yeah.
Because if you're not paying attention, it could be happening and you could help, but you weren't paying attention, so you missed it. He's aware. Well, that dude's aware.
Yeah, and you know, there's a common thread here that always seems to run through with people like this. They do this great, wonderful thing that most people either can't do or won't do, and then afterwards they say, "Oh, you know, it was nothing. You know, I'm not a hero. You know, anybody would have done it. I just did what I had to do."
Yes.
And man, that's character in action, Colonel.
And I think the three people we just discussed fall into that category: character in action.
Well, I want to do more of this, Colonel. We need some positive stuff here in America.
Amen. Okay, these kinds of stories happen all the time in America, but we rarely hear about them. Regular, everyday citizens are ready to step in and use their skills. Sometimes it's for something simple, like helping a neighbor. Other times it's a life and death situation. Most of us don't experience those most of the time, but let these stories inspire you to always be ready to help. You never know when you might save a life. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's time to run hard for a couple of miles, troops. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield, the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We do appreciate our listeners. Now it's time for the movie of the month. So, of course, joining us is Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival, a member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. Welcome, young lady.
Thank you, Danny. It's always an honor and a privilege to be with you and your audience.
You did some traveling this summer, didn't you? I think you went to Israel, too.
I've been twice because my family is there because they're posted there at the moment. And what a remarkable and wonderful historical trip I took. But it is a long flight.
Yeah, I was there about 5 years ago. And oh, yes, it's a long flight. Okay. Our movie for this month was The Migrants. You know, when I watched it, at first, I thought you must have sent me the wrong movie. But after seeing much of it, I suddenly got the message. A very different movie, but a really effective one.
I thought so, too. And again, I always have to look at things from a production standpoint. That was beautiful animation and extraordinarily well done. And of course, I felt that the message was, of course, appropriate for the moment in our lives. So,
oh, yes. Okay. Well, our listeners apparently thought so, too.
Oh,
so
good.
Let's talk about some of the fewer comments. Quote, I had no idea what this movie was going to be about when it started. I sure didn't see how it could relate to Frontlines of Freedom. Apparently, he did figure out how it could relate. So his feelings were fundamentally the same as mine. The next one, most migrants are fleeing something. In this case, they just found themselves adrift, probably not on purpose. That's probably true. And it
yes.
is true.
Yes.
Whether they're fleeing poverty or brutality or war or something, most people don't just decide to migrate because everything's fine, but I don't have anything else to do. So, yeah, migrants are definitely in a unique category. And here's another one. It's likely true that most migrants aren't welcome wherever it is they end up, but some are welcome if they're fleeing a known evil and the people feel sorry for them.
Well, that's true.
You know, I'm not sure I'd ever thought about it that way, but that is true. I don't know very many places where people who left their home were happy to see them come in. There were some places where they were fleeing some known evil that people made them welcome or took care of them a bit. But that's different than I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. And I think that if you feel that there's like, Ukraine, of course, comes to mind. If you feel that they're there temporarily and that, you know, the situation will be resolved and they will then go home, as many did in Europe, too, during World War II, I think that that's a different situation than they're going to come and be with you forever. So, I mean, there's different ways to look at this. Certainly, having to become a migrant is tragic, no matter how you slice the cake, you know?
Yeah, and I would expect that at least if they're fleeing something evil, they hope to return home.
Yes.
But whether they ever do or not, and your point's well made. You know, are we taking care of these people for a few months or a year? Or are they going to be here forever
absorbed,
and we have to take
right.
care of them forever?
Right, exactly.
And that certainly would affect your attitude towards them, not demeaning the fact that human beings are human beings, but just how that's going to impact your life into the future.
Right.
The movie made the rejection really clear. That's true.
Yes.
You could see that the migrants really weren't welcome by any, I mean, they weren't being attacked and killed, apparently.
Right.
But there wasn't, there were no welcome signs. Let's put it that way.
Right. They were not, you know, welcomed with open arms, for sure.
And, you know, even if it's less blatant, if you're basically being ignored or put aside, that's got to be a terrible feeling. You know, I want
Again,
to be welcome.
It's tragic in so many senses of the word, but, you know.
Yeah.
But survival, you know, you gotta give these people kudos for, you know, getting up and trying to make a way to survive.
Yeah.
You know, that's brave to leave, you know. It's
Well, and you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Isn't that the
next comment, I guess the animals have their turf just as we do. They don't like outsiders of any species moving in. That may be more true for animals, but it's pretty much true for everybody.
Right. Well, we're animals too. And let's not forget that. You know?
Yeah, you got a good point there. You know, I'm not sure I'd feel good if 100 people that I didn't know and maybe didn't even speak my language suddenly lived in my neighborhood on the streets or wherever they, I don't think I'd care for that.
Right.
And the next one, there's only so much in the way of resources like food and safe places to sleep in any region. So that's a good point too.
Yeah, that's absolutely a good point. And therein lies the rub. Where do these poor people go? You know?
Uh-huh. Now, animals can usually curl up under a tree or something like that, which we humans tend not to be able to do quite so well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you looked at, you know, filling all the hotels with these people, well, then the hotels got out of business, you know.
Right.
And where do visitors stay? And if visitors or business people can't come in, then your business is closed. I mean, the impacts here are
the huge. Impact. That's it. Exactly. So how do you make it so they can stay in their own country or whatever is the, or their own, you know, that is the $20 million question.
Now, if they're fleeing a hurricane and you know that in a week or a month or 2 months, they're going to be going home.
Right.
It's a lot easier to welcome them and take care of them.
Exactly.
And here's another one. It was hard not to feel sorry for the mother and child.
Right.
Yes. And what's not to say about that?
Right.
And now let's get contemporary. This one says, this is a bit like the illegal folks coming across our southern border. They bring nothing positive, and we're supposed to provide for them.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Well.
And again, Denny, I'm most happy with these comments that we've started a conversation.
That was our goal.
In a beautiful way, it starts a conversation. Everybody's got their own view, but to look at all of the views and see that in the end, really, we all want the same thing, and that is a safe place to raise our family. So again, how do we fix the place that they're fleeing from? That's a problem.
And the final one, I sure don't want to ever be a migrant. Good point.
Well, yeah, that's perfect. Exactly. I don't think the migrants want to be migrants.
Well said. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking to Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, we've got about a minute left. Talk to us about the festival.
Well, it's the call for entries is open until November 1st. Tell all of your friends that make independent films. We'd love to see their work. And the festival will be next March 23rd through the 26th, 2023.
Hope to see all you folks there, at least virtually. Diane, thank you. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Thanks for being a great member of the Frontlines of Freedom team.
Thank you, Denny. It's always great to be here.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm and take a break. Stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. Troops, it's football season, of course, and it's time for our football co-host Quentin Roberts and me to review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Quite a different week, wasn't it, Quentin?
Oh, Danny, it was a tough week for our Service Academy football teams. You know, we had Army was the lone victor. As Air Force and Navy fell to their foes.
Yeah, it was, as an Army guy, I was very happy to see a 48-24 win. We'll get to Air Force. They didn't lose by much. Navy lost by a bit more. But we all got to get that winning thing going, don't we?
I tell you, Danny, it's been an up and down year for the Service Academy teams. You know, we were expecting a little bit more, I think. But you're right. Army did rally very nicely. You know, as they moved to 3-4 on the season, they scored 31 straight points to rally past the University of Louisiana Monroe. Army did it in classic Army fashion by rushing for 441 yards and adding 41 yards just for good measure, and as a total of 482 yards while holding Louisiana Monroe to a total of 349, which is still a decent outing. But, you know, it really was that's classic Army football. It was the Black Knights who, well, actually, Louisiana Monroe struck first with a field goal. The Black Knights came back with a touchdown. And they traded off a little bit as the Louisiana Monroe went up 17-7 in the second quarter before the Black Knights really found their footing. They added another touchdown before the half to draw within three. And then it was really all Black Knights in the second half as they opened up the scoring with a field goal, then added three touchdowns in a row. Going into the fourth quarter to really take command of the game, 38-17, en route to a 48-24 victory over Louisiana Monroe. It was, quarterback Jamel Jones making his second consecutive start, rushed 17 times for 96 yards and three touchdowns on the day. Army really was just able to continue to get first down after first down. In the fourth quarter, it was Jacoby Buchanan from 3 yards out to really top off the scoring as they took that commanding 38-17 lead. Army has won back-to-back games at Mikey Stadium. And as I mentioned earlier, improved to 3-4 on the season. They will have a bye week, followed by the Commander's Cup, the first Service Academy game of the season for them versus Air Force in Arlington, Texas.
Yes, sir. Well, Air Force at Boise State came close, but not close enough, did they?
You know, Danny, it was really a very disappointing loss as the Falcons dropped a tough conference game 19-14 to Boise State. When you hold a team as potent as Boise State is to 19 points, you're supposed to win that game, Danny. You really are. But unfortunately, the offense just could not get rolling as they amassed only 271 yards in the game, total offense to Boise's 342. The turnover margin, equal one turnover apiece, but Air Force needs to win that turnover margin when you're playing against a big, strong team like Boise State. Boise controlled the clock, 33 minutes to Air Force's 26, and the first down 17-14. So, you know, give Boise State some credit. They played well. They moved to 5-2 on the year, and more importantly, 4-0 in the conference. But, you know, as you look at the game, Brad Roberts, Air Force's fullback, was kind of that last shining star. He posted 90 yards on 25 carries and became the all-time leader in career yards as a fullback. For a fullback, he eclipsed the record set by John Kirshner back in the early 80s. So Brad Roberts, congratulations to him. He's having a fabulous year. So that's where it stands for the Falcons as they move to 5-3 overall. They'll have a bye before that vaunted Army game.
And Navy really got hurt by Houston, didn't they?
I tell you, it's been another tough season for Coach Neomatalolo and the midshipmen. You know, they started off with two losses, got a win, and now they've lost two more in a row. Both of those Texas teams, SMU, Southern Methodist University, and the University of Houston Cougars. Well, they dropped it 30-28. Another, you know, it's a tough game. And, you know, when you look at the tail of the tape, Navy 326 yards of offense, but Houston had 441. They dropped to 2-5 on the season, Houston 4-3 on the season. And Houston just had a little bit too much for them. You know, Navy just has not been able to consistently get that big play that they need. It was Houston quarterback Clayton Toon who tied the Navy Marine Corps stadium record with 5 touchdown passes as he led Houston to that victory over Navy. So, you know, it's been a tough season for Navy, but you know what? They've got Temple next, and I think you will see a big bounce back from them.
I agree with you. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Quentin Roberts about Service Academy football. So that was last week. This week, Army and Air Force certainly can't lose because they can't win. They both have a bye, but Navy plays Temple. What's that one going to look like?
Well, Danny, I tell you what, when Temple this year is not doing so well, they're 2-5, 0-3 in the conference, whereas Navy is still 2-3 in the conference, which is pretty respectable. Navy is favored by 13.5 points. The game is going to be in Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. You can catch that game on CBS Sports Network, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So, the Navy looks good, and I expect that they're going to roll and move to 3-3 in the conference.
So go Navy. Well, thank you, Quentin. Thanks for your insights and for being part of the team. Well, it is fun reviewing, but it's more fun when we do have more wins.
Well, Danny, if I could just add, it was the Merchant Marine Academy who dropped one to Catholic University, 41-33. And they will next take on Springfield, while the Coast Guard Academy will next take on MIT.
Thank you for reminding us of that. We didn't want to drop that ball. Thanks, Quentin. We'll be back on this next week.
Looking forward to a Denny big one coming up. Big week next week.
It is. Hey, troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny at frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Mary, a Navy vet and Army mom, loves America, loves the fall season, and loves listening to Frontlines of Freedom.
Thank you, Mary. I really appreciate you and all of our listeners.
It's Sam and Marie, Army parents. Really enjoyed the interviews with the Ukrainian military folks. It was great to hear from them.
I agree with you. They were the first Ukrainians I've ever talked with. They do love their country like we love ours. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 2 November 1777, during our Revolutionary War, the USS Ranger, with a crew of 140 men under the command of John Paul Jones, left Portsmouth, New Hampshire, for the naval port at Brest, France, where it would stop before heading toward the Irish Sea to begin raids on British warships. This was the first mission of its kind during the Revolutionary War.
And I love the fact that the name of the ship was the Ranger.
Oh, yeah, you do. Well, they did lead the way, Colonel.
Yes, indeed. And it's interesting that France was at war with England while we were at war with England, so we sort of scratched each other's back a little bit. And on 3 November 1941, combined Japanese fleet received top secret order number one. In 34 days' time, Pearl Harbor was to be bombed. Of course it was. We found ourselves entering World War II on 7 December 1941.
And they regretted that eventually.
They sure did.
On 31 October 1943, during World War II, Lieutenant Hugh O'Neill of VFN 75 destroyed a Japanese aircraft during night attack off Vella Lavella in the first kill by a radar-equipped night fighter of the Pacific Fleet.
I'll bet that was exciting, being in combat with something that's never been used before.
Yeah, I couldn't have done that, Colonel. I'm afraid of the dark.
Okay, I believe that. Not. And on 4 December 1943, again during World War II, a new Japanese squadron led by Admiral Kurita arrived in Rabaul, New Britain Island. The Japanese force consisted of 10 cruisers and 10 destroyers. American reconnaissance sighted the squadron en route, and our Task Force 38 prepared to attack with its carrier aircraft. And attack they did. They sunk those puppies.
And on 31 October 1951, 18 of the 67 Air Guard squadrons mobilized in 1950 to 1951 during the Korean War were returned to state control. Only one of the 18, the 116th Fighter Squadron from Moses Lake Air Force Base, Washington, served overseas during this period. Issued new F-86A Sabre jets, the 116th was stationed at the Royal Air Force Base at Manston, England, as part of the reinforcement of NATO forces put in place to discourage a Soviet attack in Europe. The six squadrons that actually deployed and fought in Korea were released in July 1952. The last flying units of the Air Guard serving on active duty during this period were finally released on December 31, 1952.
We got to appreciate the Air Guard. Well, all the Guard and Reserves. We really need them. And on the 31st October 1952, the U.S. exploded the first hydrogen bomb at Eniwetok Atoll in the Pacific. The first H-bomb ever, Mike, was exploded at 7:15 a.m. local time on November 1st, 1952. The mushroom cloud was 8 miles across and 27 miles high. The canopy was 100 miles wide. Radioactive mud fell out of the sky, followed by heavy rain. 80 million tons of earth were vaporized. Mike was the first ever megaton yield explosion.
But not the Colonel, that just blows me away. I mean, no pun intended. That's just the sheer might, the power. Yes. That's just incredible.
I mean, can you imagine? Just I can't even imagine picturing 80 million tons of earth, much less vaporizing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. On 31 October 1956, Rear Admiral G.J. Dufik became the first person to land an airplane at the South Pole. Navy men landed an R-4D Skytrain on the ice at the South Pole. Rear Admiral George Dufik, Captain Douglas Cardiner, Captain William Hawks, Lieutenant Commander Conrad Shin, Lieutenant John Swadener, Petty Officer J.P. Strider, and Petty Officer William Cumby were the first men to stand on the South Pole since Captain Robert Scott in 1912.
There were an awful lot of officers in that plane, weren't there?
Yes, there were. You know, it was a lot easier getting there by plane, I would guess.
You got a good point there. But why would you take that many officers? Oh, well. And on 4 November 1979, student followers of the Ayatollah Khomeini sent shockwaves across America when they stormed the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. The radical Islamic fundamentalists took 90 hostages. The students were enraged that the deposed Shah had been allowed to enter the U.S. for medical treatment. They threatened to murder hostages if there was any rescue attempt. Days later, Iran's provisional leader resigned, and the Ayatollah Khomeini, the leader of Iran's fundamental revolutionaries, took full control of the country and the fate of the hostages. 2 weeks after taking the embassy, the Ayatollah began to release all non-U.S. captives and all female and minority Americans, citing these groups as among the people oppressed by our government. The remaining 52 captives were kept at the mercy of the Ayatollah for the next 14 months. President Jimmy Carter was unable to diplomatically resolve the crisis, and on April 24, 1980, he ordered a disastrous rescue mission in which 8 U.S. military personnel were killed and no hostages rescued. 3 months later, the former Shah died of cancer in Egypt, but the crisis continued. In November 1980, Carter lost the presidential election to Republican Ronald Reagan. Soon after, with the assistance of Algerian intermediaries, successful negotiations finally began between the U.S. and Iran. On January 20, 1981, the day of Reagan's inauguration, the U.S. freed almost $3 billion in frozen Iranian assets and promised $5 million more in financial aid. Minutes after Reagan was sworn in, the hostages flew out of Iran on an Algerian airliner, ending their 440-day ordeal. The next day, Jimmy Carter flew to West Germany to greet them on their way home. I was the minister war planner for my command during that time, and we're the command that should have run the rescue mission, and we didn't.
Yeah.
I had a war perspective of how this happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Iran has been a pain in our backside ever since.
And we haven't figured it out because we're still treating them nice or something. I don't know.
And on 31 October 1991, during an extremely severe winter storm, Coast Guard cutter Tamaroa rescued 4 of 5 Air National Guard crewmen from an H-60 that had ditched south of Long Island due to fuel exhaustion. Tamaroa had been attempting to rescue 3 persons off the sailing vessel Satori the previous day when she was diverted to assist the Air National Guard pararescuemen. The 5th pararescueman was never found. The Tamaroa was awarded the Coast Guard Unit Commendation for these rescue attempts.
Wow. I can't imagine how awkward it would be in the middle of a rescue to run out of fuel.
Yeah.
But there probably weren't any gas stations local.
So. Probably not, Colonel.
So what do you do? And on the 31st of October, 1998, the U.S. and Israel signed a strategic cooperation agreement to protect the Jewish state from ballistic missiles. The Arrow Anti-Tactical Ballistic Missile Program is one of the centerpieces of the U.S.-Israel strategic relationship. It is one of the most advanced missile defense systems currently in existence. The Arrow offers Israel an essential capability against Scud-type ballistic missiles and provides us with key research and technology for other theater missile defense programs. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, it was lucky that 23-year-old Carol Miracle was carrying a gun on her during that late-night trip to the convenience store, but not so lucky for the man who tried to rob her. Arizona news outlets reported Miracle shot and killed a would-be robber who held her at gunpoint outside a Circle K in Glendale. She told police that the man held a gun to her head demanding money. So she pulled out her own handgun and shot him in self-defense. She then called 911 from her nearby home to report the incident. When police arrived on the scene, they identified 27-year-old Frank Taylor in the parking lot. Paramedics treated him and took him to the hospital, where he later died from injuries. According to Glendale police, Miracle has been fully cooperative with detectives, and surveillance videos and witness testimonies aligned with her story, so she was not taken into custody.
Thanks, Colonel. Time and again, I hear other concealed carry instructors recite this quote, "You can't outdraw a drawn gun." And from a certain perspective, that's true. If your assailant already has their gun drawn, then there's no way you can draw yours before them. But here's the thing. Winning a gunfight isn't just about a fast draw. It's also about being a good shot, being willing to shoot, and about sound tactics. I think there are a lot of armed robbers out there who place too much confidence in the mere presence of their gun. They believe that simply having the gun out and pointed in the right direction will get them what they want. And most of the time, that's true, because over 90% of the general public walk around unarmed for most of their lives. That makes it a pretty safe bet that the criminal will have the advantage in most altercations. But time and again, we hear stories where armed citizens were held at gunpoint only to draw their own gun and shoot the attacker before he could press the trigger. Most people don't understand how this can happen, but I think I do. If a criminal robs dozens of people and they all comply peacefully, then why would you assume anything different will happen the next time you point a gun at someone? When something happens to you for the first time, it's called an unknown stimulus, and you'll hesitate out of shock. When you draw on a drawn gun, most criminals will also be surprised and slow to react. This gives you an advantage and a short amount of time to counterattack and take back the edge. I'm not saying everyone should use this approach because it's really quite dangerous. There is a certain amount of luck involved for all who win gunfights, and this Glendale woman must have had her share. As we don't know all the particulars, it's hard to say, but one thing's for certain. This woman had some courage to do what she did, and she also had the good sense to bring her gun into a dangerous situation. Front Lines of Freedom salutes this Arizona woman for a job well done.
Very well done. Our movie this month is The Migrants. You can watch it for free. Go to the website and do that. Go to the blog and get the link. We just reviewed it, so it's about to be taken down. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Ambassador Pete Hoekstra will talk to us about the threat that China is. Then retired General Paul Valley will discuss the major problems at our service academies, and we'll cover this weekend's service academy football games with Quentin Roberts. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape, physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed.